Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As the 2022 NFL season reaches its final month, those of us in Dynasty Leagues are turning our attention to 2023. Which IDP should you take with you? And who should get left behind? That and more this week on the IDP Blitz. Let's
go! Hands up, get ready, it's the IDP show. With the football guys and Sigmund Bloom, you know how that goes. This ain't your typical, we deliver the hard facts. This is the dopest fantasy football podcast. It's win or go home, everything's at risk. Welcome to something new, it's the IDP Blitz. Win or go home, everything's at risk. Welcome to something new, it's the IDP Blitz.
Josh here with Adam and Bobby from the IDP show, joined this afternoon by the legend Sigmund Bloom of Football Guys, talking risers and fallers for IDP Dynasty Leagues. Stick around to the end of the episode as we'll look at some players whose stock has surged or sunk in 2022. But first, gentlemen, let's talk about our dynasty approaches in general. Sig, there comes a point in every season where dynasty managers, many of them, have to thread a difficult needle. Going all in to win a title versus holding on to assets for the future. Now, the approach, it's going to vary from one person to the next, but if you know that you have a shot, that your window is open, Sig, I'd love to hear about your approach in dynasty leagues. How hard are you willing to push to get a ring?
Oh, all the way, right? I mean, that's why we do this, guys. Hey, the Rams are falling apart. The Lions are going to get a top five pick. Does anyone care? You think the Rams fans are like, no, maybe we should have been more prudent. Maybe we shouldn't have pushed so hard year after year after year because we would have more assets for the future. Come on. Now, be honest with yourself, because in fantasy football, there's chaos. Chaos, the further we get in the season, the more chaotic it gets, the less reliable the information is, the injury landmines go off, teams way of thinking about whether to rest players, even shut them down for the season changes, all kinds of stuff gets wacky, and you just try your best to stay up with it, and you're getting a ticket, you're getting a chance to win the tournament. So in some ways, my favorite teams to make a push for, guys, are not the teams that are set up as the number one seed and are really, if you look at the way they stack up against other teams, that you're feeling good and maybe you get that one extra piece just gratuitous over the top. It's the teams that are maybe just barely going to sneak in the playoffs, but if you get hot, you get that one extra piece. Now you're going to take down one of the big dogs and make them regret it, not going harder, make them regret not making moves, because if you can get into the tournament, you've got a chance to win. And that's what's really fun. So yeah, you're trading speculation. You're trading mystery boxes. One of the other things I'll add to this, because this is the last chance I could hang out with you guys this year, and I want to take advantage of this opportunity to pass on. You all are very indulgent, and you make me feel like, well, I should share what I have to share. And this, to me, just is to illuminate how much fun it is to win a championship. Because it's hard, especially if you're in a good league. The championships you want to win are the hardest to win when you're in the toughest leagues with the best competition. It's hard. A lot of things got to break right for you to win a championship, not just your decisions, not just how smart you are or how good you are at fantasy football. And when I do win a championship, and this is how rare it is, I like to take a look at my starting lineup and look at every player and how did I get that player? I'll go back as far as I have to. Did I draft them? Did I trade for them? Did I pick them up? Did I pay a lot for them when I picked them up? Was it an afterthought pickup? But did I outbid? Did I go strong to the hole for them? And just see the journey, because it makes you understand how many things have to come together exactly right to win a championship, which again is why that's how hard it is. If you can get to the playoffs, try to get to the playoffs. If you can get in the playoffs, try to win a championship. You can always rebuild those assets in the future, but you may not have another chance. You often can go back and look at playoff teams that if you had made one decision differently in your lineups, you would have won a championship. So give yourself that chance to fail.
Yeah.
little ancestry.com for your dynasty rosters, Bobbo. I love that idea of figuring out where did these players come from, especially for you as the wheeler dealer around this table. I think that would probably take you a better part of 48 hours to figure out how you acquired all of your assets in our main league. But I feel like you're actually pretty similar to Sig when it comes to your dynasty approach, Bobbo. You are the type that is just get in the dance and see what happens.
Yeah. And I haven't always been that way. You know, I feel like more here recently, exactly like what you're saying, Josh, dynasty for me, just about getting into the playoffs. Because especially in dynasty IDP leagues, you really just never know. You know, we have to kind of mention that in the RSO, the XFFL, our main league, I don't think the favorite has ever won the title.
I don't think so.
It has normally either been a 3-4, even a 5 or a 6 seed, like Sig is saying. So grabbing that late, Miles Sanders, like I got this morning, Cordarrelle Patterson, whoever it might be, IDP-wise, going and grabbing a linebacking dart throw, or even paying attention to injuries. Looks like I'm going to lose Aaron Donald for the rest of the year. I'm going to have to go get a D-tackle to put in that spot. It just gets weird. Fantasy football is great through about November, and everything stays about steady. And then December and January, when we're in weeks 16, 17, 18, it kind of gets flipped on its head a little bit.
Yeah, the chaos is ramped up, Addy. And I think there's a factor we should mention here, which is that IDP, the variability of that week to week, increases the chances that that 5 or 6 seed, if they make it into the dance, could win the whole thing. Because that's just an added layer. Maybe with offense, you can pretty well say, well, my team really would have to have the best week ever. But with IDP, that's just a little kind of sprinkling of unpredictability that makes this even more exciting.
Well, and a lot of times your top teams get kind of complacent. You know, they're studs to start, and then they just kind of they just get comfortable with where they're at. And those guys that are trying to fight and claw their way into it, they're more locked in with everything that's going on. So,
that's right.
I mean, I think that's why you're seeing that happen.
Yeah, and your approach, Addy, is I think maybe a little different because you are willing to push, but up to a point.
Sure, yeah. So I think it matters based on the league you're in. If you're in a league, you know, if you've been in a league for 10 years, right, and you only have one ring, it doesn't really mean much. You know, there's 12 other people in that league. I mean, it's not that important. Like what I want to do. I want to build a dynasty. That's what it's called. It's called dynasty, right? I mean, you want to build a team that is competitive for a decade. I want to make it not enjoyable for my league mates and closest friends.
Yeah, you want to absolutely make your closest friends miserable. That's
right.
What fantasy football is all about.
But I mean, I've been there. I've done that. I've done the thing where I go all in and trade a bunch of future assets. But I think, you know, 2 or 3 years later, if you haven't repeated, I think you're going to kind of regret that.
You're essentially like the Rams right now.
Right.
That's
yeah.
The place I'm in our main league. And I got to tell you, it's not a real fun place
it's
to
really
be.
It's really not.
Because I'm not competitive.
And next year probably doesn't look that much fun either.
It's going to be probably 2 or 3 years out. So, yeah, there is a flip side to that going all in approach.
So I think if you're going to make moves via trades, you know, don't go acquire the Devin Whites, the Roquan Smiths, the Nick Boltons. Those guys are going to cost a first, right? Mm-hmm. If you're looking to make a trade, go offer a third for a Josie Jewell, a Frankie Louvu, a TJ Edwards. All three of these guys are top 10 in points per game this year. All three of these guys also may have a decent role next year. You know, I mean, there's Josie Jewell's under contract. Frankie Louvu still under contract. Mm-hmm. And TJ Edwards, I mean, he's going to be a free agent, but the guy is, I think, the third highest graded linebacker according to PFF this year. So,
and not a single week scoring fewer than double-digit points.
Yeah.
That's going to be a green consistency chart across the board for TJ Edwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this – speaking of acquisition, Sig, I always enjoy our conversations because you bring a lot of interesting insight to the table in terms of when to buy and sell IDP assets. So, thinking about this idea of acquisitions, you mentioned sort of looking at your roster after the season, figuring out where these players came from. In Dynasty League, Sig, are there certain characteristics you find yourself going after when you're making Dynasty trades? And is that at all impacted by what phase your team is in? If you're going for it, maybe you're reloading. How do you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly you're looking at where you're at in your team's story. And I think there's some things almost like naturally built in, going back to the idea that you don't want to truly go all in, right? You don't want to trade for Nick Bolton, somebody that's going to be a cornerstone asset. But here's where this all ends up working itself out. Self-regulation, the market regulates itself for us. And this is why when I saw this question, guys, here's the kind of trade I look for. Okay. I'm really not trying to be silly or absurd when I say this. I'm looking for a trade that actually can happen. Right? I'm looking for a trade that actually has a good chance of happening. And that's why, like, going back to the point of try to get Josie Jewell or try to get somebody. And look, in IDP, these getting a Jack Sanborn, like if you got Zaire Franklin, if you got Jack Sanborn, right when they first started hitting, when folks like, well, then maybe this is just temporary. What a value you got. You got somebody that like might be looked at like Nick Bolton in a year, maybe not even a year. I mean, what reason is there Jack Sanborn isn't going to go forward with this role for this offense?
Yeah.
I mean, this defense. So it's the play, like try to get players that you can get at this point. And I think that as we've been talking about, as we've been dancing around, guys, I'm just going to be straight and blunt about this. When you actually look at who wins the championship in your IDP league, it's often senseless. Like it just doesn't, it's like you said, like the lower seeds, whatever. It doesn't necessarily reward the best team over the course of the whole year. But isn't that just like football? Football doesn't give the Super Bowl to the best team over the years. Who was the best team in that game? And the point about top seeds getting complacent is such a good one, because it's caring, you know, it's giving a crap. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually, and when you're scuffling to make the playoffs, you're caring, you're churning the bottom of your roster. You're trying to get ahead of like you're saying, like know the injuries on your team, try to reinforce different spots where you might need help, where the other teams aren't doing that. And then come week 16 and week 17, they're finding themselves starting somebody they don't even want to play. I've mentioned this story before, but in the league I did with John Norton and Red Eye Masters, 1 year, and this, by the way, is a good argument to shut down waivers once the playoff starts and say the part of the strategy is you have to build your roster at the beginning of the playoffs for, and if whatever happens, happens, man. Because I was able to build my defense in the championship week, I think from 6 or 7 players I picked up that week.
Wow.
It's because of how chaotic the end of the season is. And also because how IDP fantasy football, a little more than offensive fantasy football, rewards participation. And it even can reward being on a bad team. Like it can reward, what are the things we like in offensive fantasy football? Touchdowns, right? The good things happening, gains of yardage. For IDP, if you're on the field for 70, 75 plays, like 45 of them are running plays, oh, that's good eating. Your team sucks. You know, and you might be on the field because the starter went down, but you're still there to collect 13 tackles when your team gets blown out 37-3 in week 17. And that's what determines who wins the championship. It's senseless. It's senseless, guys. But at the same time, it rewards people who are paying attention and caring. And that's the people that are just trying to edge into the playoffs and then making those trades. So the simplest way to look at it in a dynasty perspective are just who are those players that have that short window of value? Because those teams that aren't making the playoffs want to trade those players. They're happy to trade them. These are the trades that can happen. So that's why I say the trades I'm looking for are the trades that can happen.
There you go, Bobbo. If you're trimming the fat from your roster, I feel like you'll get this as someone who has hunted previously.
Sure.
But if you are trimming the fat from your roster throughout the season, you got to keep your knife sharp and paying attention, making trades, making waiver acquisitions, churning that roster keeps your knife sharp, keeps you plugged in on what's happening, and especially as the chaos amplifies near the end of the season, as it's the war of attrition, players are dropping out left, right, and center, you're the type that is already programmed to pay attention to these little changes week to week, or big changes in the case of an Aaron Donald going out for the rest of the season. Bobbo, you, we mentioned kind of jokingly, have been the trade master this year in our main league. So I'm curious, what characteristics are you looking for when you're making dynasty trades?
You know, one thing, and we'll talk about a couple, you know, of the more mainstream type of reasons why you would go after guys, but one thing that I've really seen, especially IDP wise, in acquiring guys who might start to see a bigger role, either, you know, going into the next season, in the off season, or even some weeks where, you know, we've talked about early on, I think Sig talked about Detroit, you know, that defense just wasn't working. You know, the Raiders have been a weird defense. Things are going to start to change when you see those teams continue to be bad. A lot of people want to talk in IDP in the offseason about, well, this team is primarily a one linebacking scheme. This team primarily runs out however many DBs on whatever down. Things can change. You know, me and Adam kind of spearheaded that in the offseason when looking at people like Nick Bolton, Ernest Jones, Quay Walker, and honestly, even Minkah Fitzpatrick. If you look at the beginning of the Big Three IDP infancy, Minkah Fitzpatrick was one of my dark horse breakouts, and it was because he was kind of playing that weird slot cornerback role, and I kind of thought that he could maybe transition a little bit more to a premier safety role, and I caught a lot of flack for that. We've caught a lot of flack for the Ernest Jones and Quay Walker take in the offseason. We've caught a lot of flack about Nick Bolton and Steve Spagnuolo. That's going to change. He's not going to be their every down linebacker. Well, because I moved a fourth or whatever piece of nonsense trade piece in the offseason to go get these speculative pieces, we're sitting here with Nick Bolton in week 12 feeling just fine.
Feeling fine. Addy, I think your approach here I like a lot. It's very similar to mine. Very simple philosophy is...
Yeah, we just want to sell the olds and buy the dips of the young.
There you go. What better way to phrase it than to cash out on
and
the
drink
olds?
Drink the blood of the young.
I was going to say, are we, Zig's like, what?
That's it.
And that's, so are we cashing out on ourselves as the olds around this table, Addy?
Yeah.
Should people be cashing out on us as well?
Of course.
And
they should have sold
in
a couple years ago.
Yeah, should have cashed out when you had a chance.
What are you doing?
I agree. I'm cashing out big name veterans or overperforming previously unknown IDPs. These sorts of Jack Sanborns, Caden Ellis, Zaire Franklins for the highly drafted, highly talented rookies, or there's second year players who haven't quite popped yet.
I will say I've also seen like some trades out there that have been screenshotted that have people that have sold Jack Sanborn and some of the returns are insane. Like people getting like multiple seconds for Jack Sanborn.
Yeah.
If you're getting that type of deal, yes, you cash out. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand these leagues that's happening in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
people desperate, people horny for some linebackers if they're given a
horny,
multiple
people
seconds.
People dumb.
Yeah.
But I would love to get in a league with these types.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice if we had a Jack Sanborn type and could cash that out because that's just not happening.
No one's giving me more than a third probably for Jack Sanborn.
And that would feel generous. Yeah. I think if you got a fourth, that would probably be what I would expect. But
I'm not impressed by those flexes out there, folks. Just saying.
But if you can get 2 seconds for Jack Sanborn,
do it.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about the highly drafted guys who haven't quite popped yet. These, I'm particularly thinking of edge rushers, and we're going to mention a couple of risers and fallers here in just a moment. And some of these names are the types of guys that I'm going after, especially the edge rushers, because we've seen it just takes some time for these guys to develop, to mature, to understand the position and how to win those one-on-one matchups every single rep. And so I'm looking to get those guys for positional scarcity, for the fact that we play in big play leagues, the fact that, you know, three down linebackers are coming off the assembly line seemingly every week now. So that's the move I like to make. If you can cash out and get one of those young guys, I like that.
What do y'all think about breaking down a big stud like, say, Myles Garrett for Jalen Phillips and Kayvon Thibodeau? Would you do something like that?
I think I would.
That's a fantastic question for Sig, honestly.
Yeah, Sig.
That's
what
I did that. Guys, remember?
Well, that's what I...
Yeah, the trade.
I mean, maybe it's because that was Myles Garrett like 6 years ago or 5 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just...
Do you ever have like the... sorry to cut you off, but the Myles Garrett, like, is that the one thing that's still in your head when somebody sends you a trade or you're thinking about sending off one of these guys, Sig, that makes you think, like, I want to sell this piece, but is this going to be the 10% of times that I regret it?
Well, I think that really, really early on in fantasy football, guys, like 20 years ago probably, one of the things I remember that was one of those truisms was, the team that gets the best player in the trade probably won the trade.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I'm okay with breaking up. It's like breaking your dollar into four quarters. I'm okay with doing that with Myles Garrett. But if I want four quarters, you know, I mean, you're not just talking about, hey, if Kayvon Thibodeau and Jalen Phillips and these guys level off to be like matchup plays or boom bust linebacker two or edge two, wherever we are by the time they're really hitting. No. That's not how it works. Because of VBD, hats off to my partner, Joe Bryant, the edge that the elite players give you isn't just as simple as breaking it down into four edges that, you know, above average players give you. So the only way I want to see one of Thibodeau or Phillips turn into a top six or eight edge rusher. And I don't know how to put odds on that, guys, but it's not 50-50 for both of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So sure, I'm okay with breaking up a Myles Garrett, a TJ Watt, or you know, it's a little late for Aaron Donald. I'm okay with doing that, but you have to plant a lot of different seeds and you have to see the real value in terms of how much this player can tilt. So again, when I talk about how it's senseless, right? On the offensive side of the football, I know we remember things like Jamal Charles had a 5-touchdown game in week 15 when that was the penultimate week. Alvin Kamara's 6-touchdown game on Christmas, right? Myles Garrett can do that, right? Kayvon Thibodeau may or may not be able to do that eventually, right? So I'm hesitant. And again, because I can now, I traded Myles Garrett at the beginning of his career arc. That was ridiculously bad. But still, Myles Garrett still takes over a game, right? Like, guys, how many players truly can take over a game defensively in the NFL right now, right? It's not many. It's very few. Myles Garrett is still one of those players. And going back to not a Zen Koan kind of answer to what do you look for in a trade, but this goes on to what y'all were saying too, is just talent. Because IDP, situation and all these different things, scheme, role, they're so unstable. Talent is stable. Now, coaches knowing how to get that talent and turn it into production isn't stable, but that's okay. I'm going to bet on talent. I also wanted to touch really quickly, since you're giving me the mic again, because you all are so kind. It's like I know that like in a couple of like 30 minutes, I'm not going to get to talk to your audience anymore. when people give you flack, I know that the subject was brought up of saying, you know, I'm going to throw some chips on these speculative plays because if they hit, they'll hit big. And now here I am and they've hit big, even though at the time people were saying that's crazy. Doing this for as long as I have, oftentimes the most important takes that I've forged in the take kitchen are the ones that people immediately react and say, that's crazy. That's terrible. It's almost like most of the people in the audience are respectable. They're hopefully respectable, respectful. And I think y'all in the level and the wavelength y'all pitch your content at, you probably get mostly like really respectful people, like really kind, generous of spirit people. So the people who are willing to say, what, this advice, you're asking me to listen to your show or subscribe or whatever for this? It's almost like they're an indicator telling you, because they're willing to be that negative and outspoken. And it's like they're this counter indicator that if it makes them mad, it's like, how dare you even suggest that, you're on to something.
There you go. The Take Kitchen. I'm going to steal that now. We're going to have the Sewed Shack and the Take Kitchen. Yeah, yeah. And brand that. We'll send you royalties.
These takes don't make themselves. What do you think?
Doing your mise en place for your take kitchen. I love it. Yeah. So, speaking of takes, gentlemen, we could sit here and talk hypothetical trades and targets and guys that we would like to go after, or we could just talk some players. We could give some takes on some IDPs. We should mention there are lots of good dynasty rankings out there, football guys. Obviously, we want to shout them out. Adam, though, for this episode specifically, he's in the dynasty ranks every day. He's doing the work. We asked him to pull some risers and fallers over the course of this season, IDPs who have either risen up his dynasty ranks or fallen for whatever reason. And we're just going to go through here. We got about four or five players lined up for both categories. And we're going to talk them through to see, are we buying these players at a discount? Are we selling high if their stock has risen? Or are we looking to hold? And Sig, we're going to cue you up here on this first one, because it's a player that you mentioned having that you were going to go after. Now, this was before the back injury set Shaq Leonard back and really threw his future into question for the Colts, for his NFL career, for his IDP outlook. You mentioned if we're having a funeral for Shaq Leonard, it's going to be on your roster. Are we having a funeral for Shaq Leonard on your roster, Sig?
Yeah, I'm checking. I mean, I'm checking because... So I think I might have mentioned this already. I never remember who upset what to. I'd say things repeat myself a lot these days. I think that fantasy football information is so good and so readily available now that the buy low, sell high days are over. And it's buy high, or I'm sorry, it's buy high, sell low. Or otherwise, you almost have to be, the contrarian take is immediately absorbed, synthesized and absorbed into the hive mind, to where the only move left to make, if you want to make a move, is the contrarian take to the contrarian take. In this case, the contrarian take is Shaq Leonard's done. You know, I mean, it's like don't even think about trading for him, because come on, he's got leg issues connected to neck and back issues. He's a linebacker. You remember Colton and remember Bob Sanders, right? I mean, there are just certain players that the way they play the game, their physiology just isn't going to allow them to play the game for forever. And it sure looks like Shaq Leonard's at the end of the line. So whatever you give up for Shaq Leonard is wasted. You're just giving it away, which makes me think that, hey, check on that 10 cents for the dollar. I mean, you guys were talking about Jack Sanborn, a third or fourth round pick. I'm giving a third or a fourth round pick for Jack Sanborn all day. I'm probably giving a second round pick for Jack Sanborn.
Ooh, at this point. Spicy.
Well, I mean, 2 seconds might be a little much. Tell me about your scoring. Tell me about like the kinds of linebackers that are usually available in the second round. But look, Jack Sanborn, number one, has shown he can produce. Number two, is in a position, in a situation where, I mean, the Bears need everything. So if they have somebody that they can just use for a couple of years as that guy, they'd be happy to do that and invest elsewhere. Like, they already showing you with Roquan Smith. Maybe it's Roquan Smith. Maybe it's the position. They're not valuing him. They're having a chance to sign him and make him a long-term piece. They're like, no, thanks. Okay. So a second round pick is still a mystery box, you know? So anyway, getting back to Shaquille Leonard, you know, what's not a mystery is that we know he can play. And if you can get Shaq Leonard for a third round pick, I mean, absolutely. Third round picks, if you look at the hit rate, go back and look who went in the third round of your draft. You're going to find one or two hits here and there, but you're looking at like a less than 10% chance, right? I don't know the odds on Shaq Leonard's. I don't know about his condition. I'm not enough of an expert in medicine to know if it's possible that he can get all the way back. But I know that if he gets back, that he's going to be, you know, he was a player that tilted the scales. So I at least want to check. And I'm in more like, If I inquire about Shaq Leonard and I get something that makes me pause as a counter, then I probably should just take it. Like, if I'm stopping and thinking about it, I'm like, would I do that? You know, now you wanted me to really blow our minds here. Like, let's get down to brass tacks. What if you got an offer of Jack Sanborn for Shaq Leonard?
Right? I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Sig?
Right. And I think that is Jack Sanborn. And I think it's Jack Sanborn. I think it's Jack Sanborn because, again, but guys, come on. Things move so fast in IDP Dynasty football. Mm-hmm. They move so fast. What is Blake Martinez worth? What was he worth a year ago? You know? And how many of these guys that are entrenched as IDP studs, how many of them did we see coming? How many of them? I've been playing IDP fantasy football long enough to know that even more so than on the offensive side of the football, forget pedigree. Just forget about it. I mean, there are players that can, because of their pedigree, they can add value to roles by making big plays and things like that. Like, they can just make these inspiring big plays. But so much of IDP production is just doing your job, just being in the right place, playing, performing your role, sound tackling, you know, just doing what you're supposed to do. And I think that Jack Sanborn in that momentum, because guys, we're looking at Jack Sanborn again. We may look back and say, who won the IDP championship in your league? Who picked up Jack Sanborn and Caden Ellis? It might just be that simple. It might just be that simple. So, but I think that illuminates the kinds of risks that we want to take. And I think that's a good question, because it really gets down to not just your feelings about these specific players, but your philosophy. But I think the chances are, guys, both Sanborn and Leonard are available for less than what they're actually worth.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And I think, Addy, for me, we had this conversation a little bit last week on the preview podcast, was Shaq Leonard specifically, there's just so many complicating factors now. There is the shadow of his legacy and what he has done for IDP and for the Colts, and there's these multiple surgeries. It's not just the back and the calf and the nerve. It's the concussions. It's the other lingering injuries we've heard about for the past 3 years. Oh, this surgery is going to get him healthy. No, this one. But there's also the factor of the Colts' uncertainty with their GM, with their coach. Do they bring back Bobby Okereke as Shaquille Leonard insurance? If they do, what does that do to Shaq Leonard's outlook? Could they get anything for Shaq? Could they get a sixth round pick for Shaquille Leonard coming off back surgery with that contract? I don't know. There's just so much going on that as much as I would love to say, yeah, I'll buy Shaq at a discount, you may just have a sunk cost asset on your squad. So I have some severe hesitancy, even as someone who's obviously, jerseys on the wall, a big fan of Shaquille Leonard.
Didn't he also hint around at retiring at one point, saying he didn't have a love for the game or something?
Yeah,
with him?
There's that aspect of it as well. At what point does this become an Andrew Luck situation where it's like, I just don't want to do this surgery, recovery, the mental grind of that every offseason is a lot.
Yeah, if you're already questioning that, and then that's before the injuries really start to pile up, it's not going to get better, I wouldn't think. Look at the points per game, too. I mean, I know this year is pretty much a lost year, only played 76 snaps this year, but points per game-wise, 7.9 this year. That was 15.3 in 2021, 16.6 in 2020, and 20.6 in 2019. So that is a big arrow down points per game-wise.
Yeah, so he's been trending down, and part of that has to do with the emergence of Okereke. But yeah, maybe the injuries were taking their toll long before this season. Let's move to another player, though, gentlemen, that is arrowed down recently, and a great stat here, Eddie, I'm going to cue you up on to kick things off here. Logan Wilson has been trending down for reasons that, honestly, I haven't quite been able to piece together yet, but you pulled a really interesting stat looking back at even last season, Addie. Let's start there with Logan Wilson.
Okay, so last season, 13.3 points per game, but let's look a little closer at that. He was averaging 17 points per game weeks 1 through 8, and he only averaged 7.3 points per game weeks 9 through 18. So going back to last year, since week 9 of 2021, Logan Wilson has been held under 11 points in 12 of his last 15 games. Three of those games were under 6 points. Not good. The tackles, those are also down. Tackles per game in 2021 were 7.5. They are 6.7 this year. One bright spot is the PFF numbies. Those are up 73.3. His previous high was 61.5. But Logan Wilson, just a guy that doesn't really do much, you know. The year that he kind of had his breakout, that sophomore year, it was off the back of making a lot of interceptions. Those interceptions aren't there this year, and he's just kind of an average linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, 10 points per game out of a linebacker that was someone that was had to be drafted with the top 12 linebacker pick, like, no, there's tons of linebackers you can find on waivers that do that.
Yeah, so possibly Logan Wilson out a little bit over his skis to start the career, and it's just coming back to a more reasonable baseline expectation.
I still like Logan Wilson, but I just, you know, I think there was a lot of talk like, oh, this guy is like the next top five or, you know, whatever linebacker. I don't really see that. He just doesn't produce that way.
Yeah, he's that classic linebacker who, as you start to adjust these dynasty ranks, who are you pulling down if guys are moving up? Well, Logan Wilson is a name that I'm sure you kept coming back to of like, yeah, we could bump him down. Sig, we like to play buy, sell, hold a lot on our show. Buy, sell, hold, Logan Wilson?
Yeah, and again, it's so hard to give a simple answer to this question because it comes down to are you holding Logan Wilson or are you trying to acquire him? And what does the other person on the other side of the trade think? Because I think that the case was much stronger that Logan Wilson is going to be one of the next big things at linebacker. And you may, if you have Logan Wilson, be trading with somebody who is thinking, I'm going to buy low. He's 26 years old. Still, you know, he's a good all-around linebacker. He's good enough. He doesn't have any holes in his game where he's going to get replaced or something like that. So I'm going to see if this is just a temporary blip. He has been banged up, et cetera, and let's keep using that second round pick. Second round pick is a really good meridian because a third round pick, again, with the Shaq Leonard talk, what are the chances that you're going to get a linebacker one in the third round? And what are the chances that Shaq Leonard is going to come all the way back from these various maladies to get back to where he was linebacker one? You can actually try to calculate those things and see which one you think is higher. But I want to stress that once you get to the third round of your rookie drafts, the success rate starts to fall off a cliff. It's a little bit higher in IDPs because IDPs stretch out the talent, but still not great. So I think a second round pick now, linebackers you take in the second round, are usually, again, like your Quay Walkers and Devin Lloyds and so on, sometimes again to the late first. So that's why a second round pick is that dividing point. So I think a second round pick for Logan Wilson might be too rich, but if you can get him without giving away a second round pick, a third round pick plus or something like that, now I'm interested. So all that case that was laid out that Logan Wilson really ain't all that, if the person holding Logan Wilson is like, I just realized this and I have to try to get what I can for him before everybody else figures it out, well, maybe you want to be acquiring him. Maybe you want to be the person taking that chance. So I really think it depends whether you're the buyer or the seller and what the state of mind is. And I think he's right at that point where, are you still holding on to what we thought was possible, or are you so depressed of what's happened that you're being too hard on it?
And here's another thing, you know, with rostering these guys that aren't currently special, you're having to just use those guys as they're roster clogging you pretty much. You're not going to take them out of your lineup because of what you paid for them. And you're probably missing out on maybe a Caden Ellis or a Jack Sanborn because it's not a need because you have this highly drafted guy in your lineup, you know? So yeah, it's
hard
not
to
a good
take
spot
those
to be
guys
in.
Out because there's a lot of sunk cost bias into, well, what did I pay to acquire Logan Wilson? What kind of draft capital did I have to use?
Yeah.
It's hard to move off that spot if you've got a Logan Wilson in your lineup.
So yeah, I mean, as always, turn to linebackers when you can. As always.
Yeah, so a faller that's brings up an interesting case study for Dynasty Trades. And Bobby, I'm going to cue you up on this one because this was actually one of your flag plants for this offseason. Xavier McKinney has been free-falling in Adam's Dynasty rankings recently. And I think the interesting conversation I want to have here is just safeties in Dynasty leagues in general. What is your approach and philosophy when it comes to buy, sell, hold dynasty safeties?
Well, I feel like it's changed in the last year or so. It felt like last year there were, I don't know, in between five and good defensive backs, safeties primarily at any given time. It feels like there are no good safeties right now.
Yes, it does.
You know, we're looking at a week where Derek Forrest just put up 13 tackles, and is probably going to be a top three safety to finish week 12. I don't know, man. The defensive backs are just really weird this year. Now it looks like we're going to lose Chauncey Gardner-Johnson maybe for some time. L'Jarius Sneed is another guy that we've talked about on this podcast. It's a corner that if you want to roll him out as a defensive back, it's a perfectly acceptable replacement. But Xavier McKinney, another guy that we'll talk about as a dynasty faller, who was one of my flag plans for this year. I thought he was going to be a top 12 safety. He was wearing the green dot. He's back healthy. I can't remember exactly what it was, maybe an ACL that he did right about the time frame when Grant Delpit got hurt, actually. I guess that was 2020. But yeah, he's just been bad. Currently on the PUP due to a hand injury. Hasn't had a double-digit tackle game in 2022. Hasn't had a double-digit tackle game in his career. Some other stats Addy has pulled here. He had 5 interceptions in 2021. He has 0 in 2022.
Yeah, the lack of big plays is killing him.
Here's a question for you, Sig, too. Something that I'm kind of thinking about. Xavier McKinney, I think talent-wise, I think we have seen that he can be talented, kind of the same as Justin Reed. But I know Xavier McKinney has worn the green dot for the Giants a lot of this year. Do you think that the green dot and IDP can pull some of these guys' production down some from the perspective of – they're so worried about getting everybody's alignment correct that they're not always worried about themselves?
I don't know. That's a good question. What do you think, Sig? What's your thoughts on the green dot?
I mean, overall, it should still be considered a positive. But I think you're right. I think you're right to bring this up, that I think it highlights the way that the kind of contributions that players can make to defenses are not quantified more often than the contributions offensive players make. And sometimes, like you say, like the contributions they make can almost be to the detriment of the kinds of contributions that we track, right? Like the players who create the pressure that forces the bad throw and the interception, or they flush the quarterback into somebody who's just like blocked, but they can just reach their arm out and get a quarterback sack. It's not fair, right? There's no justice. But I think with Xavier McKinney, just to take the baton on McKinney, I think that, Josh, you're right to bring up just the state of safeties. Because as long as I've been playing IDP fantasy football, safety is the one position. It's like, if I have to rub two sticks together and get two safeties that I pick up off the waiver wire this week, I'm probably okay, right? I mean, Damar Hamlin's been fine, right? I mean, just picking up injury replacements is fine. So giving up assets for safeties is not something you should be into. with Xavier McKinney, if we're talking about what to do with him, I think the answer is just don't drop him, depending on your bench size and things like that. And if someone does drop him, pick him up. Because I just don't think we've had a chance to get a fair view of him yet. I think just because of the injuries, because of the regime change. But the green dot, and using that as a jumping off point, at least shows that this team trusted him. And the ATV accident and the hand injury is frustrating and unfortunate. But it could create this window where somebody is just ready to, I don't care. I'm giving up on him, tossing him, because he's still a player that has the, exactly the profile we want at safety for IDP production. I just don't think we've gotten a chance to see what he's capable of yet.
Yeah, Addie, you always like to say brighter days ahead, but some trends downward for Xavier McKinney. Can you say confidently brighter days ahead for the Giants safety moving forward?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, 9.35 points per game. I feel like that's an outlier. I mean, he's better than that. The big plays just are not falling, and I mean that just happens year to year. Is he going to be someone that, you know, is a top five or six safety? No, I don't think so. I think we were a little too optimistic about that. But he's a fine safety too to have on your roster. He's don't cut him. Don't anything dumb like that. But yeah, you just got to adjust your expectations.
Yeah. I think that's a reasonable outlook here in terms of this player is not bad. He is bad maybe relative to the expectations we had, and those high expectations created a larger opportunity for disappointment, which is what we're feeling right now. But if you reset expectations, then I think we can have a more proper appreciation for Xavier McKinney. And I want to mention here, we have talked linebackers with Shaq Leonard, Logan Wilson. We've talked safeties now with Xavier McKinney. Let's talk about a very, for me, the most interesting position for dynasty leagues because of the long-term kind of outlook you have to have with these young guys is edge rusher. So, Sig, we're going to talk about a couple pairs of guys in different situations, different contexts. The first pair we want to talk about here is Odafe Owe, Azeez Ojulari. When I mentioned earlier, I like to flip overperforming, kind of under-the-radar assets for these up-and-coming edge rushers. These were two of the guys that I was thinking about, but they have not lived up to expectations this season. Do you see this as a buy window for guys like Odafe Owe and Azeez Ojulari?
Yeah. And I think it's the same conversation with Xavier McKinney. Like, you're not giving up assets. Well, I take that back, okay? In the sense that, I mean, guys, I'm in like 16-team IDP leagues with full defenses, with 10-round rookie drafts and 10 taxi squad spots. So, yeah, I might trade a fifth-round pick, maybe even a fourth, I don't know, even in that league. But my point is, I could see, depending on how granular and small the assets get in the draft, getting one of these guys on a bounce back. But more you're trawling the waiver wire for people that are dropping players. So here's the general strategy, but I think you're right to highlight it with edge rushers. And I use this on the offensive side of the ball too, in Dynasty. Have we affirmatively seen that this guy can't play, right? And we amplify the importance of that question for early round draft picks. So we start to move on when we say, oh, you know, okay, I've seen enough. Like, he's not going to live up to what the team thought he was going to be. I don't think we can say that about Owe or Ojulari yet. Owe actually was off to a pretty good start last year. Remember, his story was all of the traits you want, but the production just wasn't there. At least the kind of production that we track in IDP leagues. It was starting to come last year. Now this year, what do you have? You have a Ravens team that is in this perpetual state of making that push, right? So what do we have on the defensive, the edge position? And now you sign Jason Pierre-Paul, right? You sign Justin Houston, who's been awesome this year. Justin Houston's been fantastic. You bring him back like $3 million. Is that a statement about Owe? Is that a statement about what they think of Owe? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that edge rushers, maybe we need to be patient. We need to be more patient with these guys. Ojulari, and the other thing is you can comb back through the reports on the players, are they creating positive buzz? So putting these things in context, you know, by picking these guys up off the Peyton Turner, you know, in New Orleans, every time Peyton Turner's got this little smidge of opportunity, you see him pop, right? Maybe it'll be Logan Hall next year. These guys were on the same defensive line together. So I think if we haven't affirmatively seen that these guys can't play, and they were, you know, top 50, 60 picks, then yeah, I'm going to swoop in if somebody is ready to move on prematurely.
Yeah, Addy, I'm bullish on both the outlook for both guys. I think you're probably a little more bullish on one versus the other, it seems like.
Yeah, I think OA does concern me. I mean, we looking at the numbers, I mean, 8.7 points per game in 2021, that's down to 6.4 this year. 67.9 PFF grade in 2021, 54.7 in 2022. 11.6 pressure rate last year, that's 9.4 this year. Maybe the most concerning thing about OA, the playing time. Weeks 1 through 5, his playing time never dipped below 81% of the defensive snaps. Weeks 6 through 9, it was between 55 and 57. Weeks 11 and 12, 40% for both weeks.
That's Yikestown, population, Odafe Oweh.
Now, like Sig mentioned, you know, yes, they have some nice vets. Yes. And why'd they bring those guys in? Because they're legends, pretty much. And
that's,
I mean,
right.
You hate to see Oweh lose playing time, but, I mean, you also have to keep in mind that guy is getting to learn from those guys. So, and with Ojulari as well, I mean, if he can get healthy, he is set up for success. You know, Dexter Lawrence, we know what we think about Kayvon Thibodeau. They're both in good situations, and I think they are nice buys.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where there's been some pretty clear regression from Odafe Oweh this season, but the Ravens are addressing that by bringing in, like you said, two legendary defensive linemen to help shore up the defense and help them make a playoff push. So it doesn't concern me. I think, again, resetting expectations to, I'm not expecting these guys to be top 12 within their first two seasons. If they start to crest that hill in year three and year four, that's more in line with what my outlook is for these guys. If we don't see it, you know, going into the end of next season, then I'll be legitimately concerned. If they're bringing in Justin Houston for his 28th season to run it back along this defensive line, yes, then I might be concerned. But right now, no. Bobby, I want to tee you up here on these next two guys, Rashawn Gary and Harold Landry, both guys that have been falling in Adam's dynasty rankings because of injury. So this is another interesting conversation here. Are you the type that's going to buy the injury dip on these, not, you know, not super old, they're not like in their early 30s or anything, but are you going to buy the injury dip on these really high-level vets, Rashawn Gary, Harold Landry?
Today on November 29th, I would look to acquire Harold Landry. I'm not interested in Rashawn Gary because literally this morning here we are talking about J.K. Dobbins might be eligible. I don't even know where he's at in his time frame of injury. I don't know if he's still on IR. I don't know if he's in his window, whatever. But everybody came into the season thinking, okay, J.K. Dobbins could be a top 10 running back. And here he is continuing to kind of nurse this ACL injury that is not completely healed yet. So I know Adam's talked about it on the last couple podcasts, but, you know, Achilles injuries are Achilles injuries. Cam Akers, I don't think, will have a major career in the NFL, nor will James Robinson. ACLs are not just a thing where once you have an ACL and you get the surgery, you're just cleared and you're back to your normal self. I think they're obviously a better injury to have than an Achilles injury, but for Rashawn Gary, you're probably not getting to plug that guy into your lineup confidently until 2024, I wouldn't think. Harold Landry is a different situation. I know he was an injury in the offseason. He probably will be more on track to play starting in week one of 2023, but I'm not giving a lot to acquire either of those guys right now. Those are almost the type of guy to where if I have them and somebody else wants to come by, I probably want to sell them. I'm not really even looking to move, like Sig was saying, do you want to move a fourth for either of these guys? I'm really just not interested in a roster clogger right now.
Yeah, I think, Addy, it depends on the price, obviously. But these are two guys that we've seen play at a very high level. So I am interested, but the price is important as we consider these two guys in particular.
Yeah, I mean, if you're buying right now, I think this is the floor, right, of their value. And it's only going to get more and more high as you approach the season for 2023. So, yeah, I mean, if you can get in now, I think it's a fine time to get in and just hope that the recovery goes better than, you know, some of these recent examples.
And go sell them to that rebuilding team and kind of sell it from the aspect of, hey, these guys will be great for you here in when the next couple. Is, yeah, when your team's hitting their stride, those rookie running backs are getting going.
And if you're rebuilding, do not buy either one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can do that, though, for sure.
Yeah, I just love it. I'm sitting here looking at the name that we have, and it's Gary Landry. And that's actually an insurance salesman. That is, that's not two nice NFL last names there. So I'm buying Gary Landry. Let's talk about some risers. We've talked some followers. Let's end on an optimistic note here, Sig. And Bobby mentioned Nick Bolton earlier in the show. He is our first riser in the dynasty ranks. He is a guy who has broken the curse of the Chiefs linebackers, seemingly. So we had an interesting conversation, myself and Jake Colhagen, on the preview podcast from last week, and we both said we would pay sticker price for Nick Bolton. So I have a feeling, with you wearing your contrarian bucket hat, that maybe looking to cash out on Nick Bolton. How are you viewing this guy who has rocketed up dynasty rankings this season?
I mean, I guess a good way to think about this, guys, is how long have linebackers stayed in the top five? When we think of a top five dynasty linebacker, how long do they usually stay there, right? We were just talking about Shaq Leonard. It's probably not as long as you think.
Corey Littleton.
Probably like 3 or 4 years. Like Roquan and Devin White are the best examples recently, right?
And Devin White is at risk, right? Like kind of hope you already traded Devin White, right?
Yep.
So I do think that this is one of those situations where if you can get like a first round plus for Nick Bolton, you know, because the other thing about IDP fantasy football, and again, guys, like I love, you know how I sign off the IDP Blitz, I say the IDP fantasy football is only real fantasy football. And I do think that there's so many, just your enjoyment of the game goes up so much when you play IDP fantasy football. And they're all the leagues I care the most about. All the leagues I care the most about are my IDP leagues. However, the dirty little secret of IDP fantasy football is how replaceable the players are. It's just not the same. There's so much more of a finite supply of relevant players on the offensive side that you feel more desperate to get those guys. On the IDP side, edge edge rusher, defensive end might be the one exception, because that's kind of like tight end, where when you have someone who misses, you drag your lineup down. But the linebacker, you can always be rubbing two sticks together. And again, in a totally unjust way, it can be a not so great linebacker on a not so great team that you just pick up in week 8, like Jack Sanborn, that outproduces Nick Bolton. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even matter that you had Nick Bolton. I see your Nick Bolton, I raise you Jack Sanborn and Caden Ellis, right? So I think when you have that peak value locked in, that's the time to get out.
Mm. Yeah, Bobo, we know that Nick Bolton is in a primo situation there with the Chiefs. He does have Willie Gay, who is seemingly the second banana. So it's not like he's the, you know, one clear linebacker with no other guy nipping at his heels. But I think the pecking order has been pretty well established that it's Nick Bolton and then Willie Gay. Mm-hmm. So you are the manager. You have Nick Bolton in our main league. Someone comes and offers you a fill in the blank that will make you move Nick Bolton. What is that price? Is it a first right now?
Well, as a team sitting here, hopefully going to make the playoffs with an, I don't even know what my record is, 8-4, and I'm still chewing my fingernails. Probably a first, because exactly like Sig is saying, you know, Shaq Leonard, Roquan Smith maybe is the outlier there, but Devin White, you know, and then even I chimed in really loudly, but Corey Littleton. The Corey Littleton of 2018 or 2019, I can't forget the Corey year. And then he wasn't even in LB3 the following. Every single year, you should probably trade the LB1, 2, 3, 4, whatever they are. Even if exactly what Sig is saying, even if it looks like that Nick Bolton might not be Devin White, because we look at the PFF numbers for Nick Bolton. 79.9 overall PFF grade, 82.7 run defense, 76% in coverage. I mean, it's a little bit different numbers than Devin White, but probably a first. If you can give me a first in 2023, I'm probably getting rid of him.
Yeah, Addy, I think there's two important just kind of broad statements we can establish here when it comes to this discussion. You should always try to cash out on linebacker. That's kind of the number one thing. And also, it's totally context dependent. If you're in the midst of, like Bobby, a playoff push, what good does a 2023 first do for you right now if you now have a hole where your linebacker one spot used to be? There's something to be said for those set it and forget it options in IDP, which Nick Bolton absolutely is. So I think the discussion here we're having is you're probably holding these guys if you're making a push. You're looking to cash out if you're in the opposite situation, and in a vacuum, you should be looking to cash out. So what's the price? What's the price for Nick Bolton? What's a fair return for this guy?
I think you're going to have a hard time getting a 2023 first. I mean, those are hard to come by. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're looking for 2023 picks, you're going to get a second. And then is someone going to give you two 2023 seconds? I don't think so. So I think you're looking for like a 2023 second, and then like maybe you can get a future 2024 second, something like that.
Yeah.
But getting the first next year, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's
because
maybe.
Like Sig just mentioned, everyone knows this. You know, that's yes. Not a secret. Everyone knows, everyone's aware of Kaden Ellis and Jack Sanborn and, you know, the people that just plucked those guys off the wire and are now have a massive advantage. I mean, everybody knows. So it's hard to get that top draft capital for linebackers.
Yeah, and we've mentioned these guys already, Sig, but Jack Sanborn, Zaire Franklin, two darlings here, two of these linebackers that, especially Sanborn, came out of total obscurity. They're now more valuable in Dynasty than they've ever been. So my question to you is, to what end? Is there a situation where, or a context for your team where you would just rather hold these guys? Are they perfect sale right. candidates in your mind? What are we doing with these guys who we see it every year pop up out of nowhere and become IDP darlings for that season?
Yeah. Sanborn, I would try to sell for a second and hold otherwise. And this includes whether you're in it or not. I mean, if you're in it, someone might offer you second, and you might say, "Well," when you look at how he's been scoring for you and you're making a push. Absolutely, this is not something that, as a team that is a rebuilding, that you should say, "Well, I'm going to cash this in for a pick," unless it's a second round pick. And Zaire Franklin, guys, so I gave up, I lost, I don't even remember who it was I lost on one of my teams at linebacker, and I went hunting about a month ago, and I was able to give up my second round pick. Which will be in the second half of the first of the second round. I don't know where. We'll see.
At the 12.
Well, yeah, it's somewhere 17. From 9. It's a 14 team league, somewhere from 8 to 14. I gave up a second round pick, my second, to get a fourth. It should be in the top half of the fourth. You know, from the team that was trading away Zaire Franklin, and I got Franklin. So for a round plus move, I feel great about. Look, Zaire Franklin, guys, Zaire Franklin's scoring profile is basically going to look the same as Nick Bolton's. Like, if for Zaire Franklin, like, I'm taking Nick Bolton, I'm saying, how about give me Zaire Franklin and some other assets? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think this is another one where we get hung up on pedigree. But if you've actually watched Zaire Franklin play and you see how they've determined his usage versus Okereke and his what he's doing for this team, then you know that they have to be looking at him as we've got this position figured out now. You know, it's really sad what happened to Shaq Leonard, but we've got this position figured out. So I think that the IDP hive mind might still be too skeptical about, like, what you see, what you get. This is Zaire Franklin. He's here. He's arrived. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, there's
under contract.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. He is under contract. Bobby O's out the door. Shaq Leonard's future is uncertain. The Colts linebacker we feel best about is Zaire Franklin, the 100% snap man. I think, Addy, that's a great question you need to ask yourself is, do these kind of waiver wire darling linebackers have a brighter future than maybe what I'm envisioning? Could they have value beyond the current season? And I think both these guys, the answer is yes. Now, to varying degrees, based on context, draft capital, but I think you're high on both of these guys for 2023.
Yeah, I mean, Sanborn, you know, like Sig kind of mentioned earlier, I mean, there's no one there next year, and he's putting it on tape and producing right now. I mean, so that's gonna weigh on the GM's mind this offseason, I think. And plus, just, I mean, the fans are pumped up. You search Jack Sanborn's name on Twitter, and it's just a bunch of fans.
All the normie NFL pods I listen to are raving
about
Jack Sanborn. Caden Ellis, same story.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Sanborn, you know, we saw that early college production, 80 tackles, 5.5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, 3 INTs as a sophomore at Wisconsin. So the guy just knows how to stuff the stat sheet, and he's doing it again this year. Zaire Franklin, he's the LB4 on the season, averaging 15 points per game. Wearing that captain patch, like you mentioned.
You love that captain patch.
I love that
captain
patch.
You're all in on the captain patch.
It means something, you know? I mean,
yeah,
they think enough of him to give it to him. I mean, he's clearly a leader of that defense. I mean, he's stepped up big for them this year when they've really needed him to. So, yeah, I mean, I think you got to feel good about Zaire Franklin for 2023.
Yeah. Let's wrap things up here, gentlemen, with a couple of Addy favorites. And we want to start with a safety who, unfortunate news this morning, lacerated kidney for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who has been the heart and soul of that Eagles defense. Addy, there's a possibility they said he could be back this season. So let's assume that this is not a, you know, significant injury that's going to cost him a lot of time. You love Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Are you cashing out because this is a dynasty safety, the conversation we are having about Xavier McKinney, or are you holding on to this guy just because you love him so much?
I mean, I do love him. I mean, and he is someone that I think I will hold on to, because what am I going to get if I sell him? Is someone going to give me a second for him? Probably not. Is someone going to give me a third? Yeah, maybe. But you want to play with guys that you like, right? That's why we do this. Like, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was one of the most fun players in the NFL. I want that guy on my team, and I just love the way he scores. You know, he's already gone over 20 points 4 times this year. He's averaging 15 points per game. He's averaging 5.5 tackles a game. That's up from his previous high of 4.4. He was on pace for 1,100 snaps before getting injured. I mean, just across the board, everything is up. I love his role there now in Philly. The usage is much different than what it was in New Orleans. 2022 usage, 57% of his snaps are coming at free safety, 24% are coming in the box, 16% in the slot. Whereas in New Orleans, he was playing primarily slot corner, 66% of his snaps were at slot. So it's nice to see him move into this more traditional safety role and also be productive with it.
Yeah, Sig, the question I want to ask you here is something I was joking with Addy, but I really think it's important. When you play fantasy football, how much of it is, I want to have a team of dudes that I enjoy watching, rooting for, that make this game more enjoyable for me? How much of a factor is that for you?
Most of it. The way I like to say it, guys, is fantasy football, it's a share in greatness, you know? It lets us have a little piece of it. It allows us to feel that exhilaration. And absolutely, you want, I mean, again, let's get back to the genesis of fantasy football. I want to be a GM and put my own team together, have my team fail or succeed based on my decisions. So that starts off with, it almost makes me sad, guys. I'm going to shed a tear when I think about this. My first Dynasty IDP league, which I think I still have never won. It's still going, believe it or not. I have never won. But my first Dynasty IDP startup draft was 2005. I remember I was the one who broke the seal. Let's do a little quick. You're letting me have the floor, so I'm going to do this, okay? The year was 2005, and I broke the seal around pick 80 or 90 in the startup draft with the first IDP. Who do you think it was?
2005. Goodness. Somebody from that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, maybe?
No, but you're in the right division.
Brian Urlacher?
Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly.
Now just move up a level in the defense. Julius Peppers.
Okay. That was taking me back. That was like, anytime you can get a Hall of Famer to break the seal with, that's pretty good.
Right? And I wanted to get those touchdowns that he got as a tight end, but he never got the touchdowns because they always committed pass interference on him when they would put him in as a tight end. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
And anyway, it was tight end premium too, so I was going to get extra bonus points. Anyway, I can remember just how jazzed I was to do that draft and to feel like, because it was before, guys, it was easy to get into dynasty leagues. Mm-hmm. and just like, I can put together a team of my guys. Like every time I was on the clock, like I agonized over it. I really ran the simulation. Like, this is my team and my guys, and it's a dynasty league. I'm stuck with them. And if I wanted, or I have to let them go, or I just gave away an asset for nothing, you know? And of course you want it to be, when there's a guy that gets you excited to watch football, those are the guys you want on your team. That's what brings you back. And then another point I'll make about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and now he's going to be a free agent. We'll see. That's why, one of the reasons he was so cheap for them. And this goes back to the Rashawn Gary, Harold Landry thing too, is you do want to, as much as you can, factor in, especially for your big play leagues, the environment, right? So the problem with Rashawn Gary and the problem with Harold Landry is that, what are the Packers going to look like 2 years from now? What are the Titans going to look like 2 years from now? Now, if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson signs with the Eagles and he continues to get to play this role, ooh, now we're talking, right? I mean, I know the name Darren Sharper has a lot of bad associations with it now, but if we're just talking about Darren Sharper in a football context, if you remember what he did with the Saints, the year the Saints won the Super Bowl, right? Or was it Vikings? I'm sorry. The year the Saints won the Super Bowl, it was when the Vikings lost to the Saints. My point is that he, what did he have that year, like 8 or 9 interceptions? He was just roaming because it was teams. It was playing stressed out offenses. So if your offense is good, your defense is going to get to face a stressed out offense that is having to push beyond its boundaries of what it can actually do to keep up with the opposition. Boy, doesn't that look like what the Eagles are going to be, right? So Chauncey Gardner-Johnson can continue to play this role and continue to produce the way he has because of that environment. But also, yeah, you got to love him. It was hurt down here in New Orleans. Guys, it hurt. Not CeeDee Deuce. You going to trade someone right before the season because of money or whatever? Not him. They got Teran Mathieu. And then he hasn't been the same. By the way, quick side, I'll reveal this again. My stepson played on the same flag football team as Teran Mathieu's son. I didn't find out until the playoff.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It was crazy because he wasn't wearing the jersey. He was one that wasn't wearing the Mathieu jersey until the playoff game. And all the other kids on the other team were absolutely putting it on him, like targeting him. And, like, they knew, as his mom said, they knew who his daddy is.
That's right.
Anyway, as I digress, if find the part of fantasy football that made you excited, or made you excited to begin with to play fantasy football, and it should be something that happens while you're watching the games. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. What a beautiful kind of a bow to put on the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson discussion there. Fantasy's more fun when you roster players that you like to watch, that you like to root for. Fun players make fun teams.
You got Mean Mug Tom Brady.
Yeah, exactly. Addy's big into that. You throw up the peace sign to Tyreek, Antoine Winfield, DB1. Yes. Same with CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Go listen to a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson interview. The dude is just upset at the world.
Yes, he is. He plays with a whole bag of chips on his shoulder, and you absolutely love to see it. Yeah. We wrapped up the faller section with some edge rushers. So very quickly, gentlemen, let's get out of here on this. And new players in new situations, we should mention that's an interesting conversation for Dynasty as well. Another Addy favorite to take us out here, the final Dynasty riser, Uchenna Nwosu. Let's just go around the table, gentlemen. Let's assume that you are in a situation where, well, I won't assume that you want to buy them. If you want to sell them, what are you looking for? If you want to buy them, what are you willing to pay? I'll kick us off. I mean, this dude has come in and broken, we mentioned, the curse of the Chiefs linebackers. No one relevant there for IDP. The Seahawks defensive line was a wasteland for IDP relevance until Uchenna Nwosu came in this year. I'd be willing to go definitely a 2023 third for this guy, maybe even a second round pick. That's how big of a fan I have become, thanks to you in large part, Addy, of Uchenna Nwosu. What about you?
Yeah, pretty much same thing. I'd be willing to spend a second in a league where he's listed as an edge or he's a defensive lineman. If he's a linebacker, which he'll still be that in a lot of leagues, I'm not interested in acquiring.
Yeah, let's assume true position here, Babo. What do you want to do with Nwosu?
He had 5 sacks with the Chargers in all of 21, had 5 sacks by week 8 this year.
There you go. Arrow up.
Absolutely. I mean, same with y'all. Second, third. I'm fine with, this guy could almost be one, like we started the podcast off with, Miles Garrett for Uchenna Nwosu plus something else.
Yeah. Jalen Phillips, something like that.
There you go. Sig, take us home, Uchenna Nwosu. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Yeah, we like it. Again, situation, edge rushers, Seattle's better than we thought. Russell Wilson's worse than we thought. The Chargers should have kept him to replace Melvin Ingram, but oh well. Seattle, we have to get used to the idea that assets are going to appreciate in Seattle maybe going forward.
Yeah, that's the thing is we thought maybe Seattle was the dumpster fire. Denver was the rocket ship taking off. It might actually be the opposite here, and we have to recalibrate our expectations for what Seattle can be moving forward.
Hey, what could you have gotten for Uchenna last year? What would you have had to pay to acquire him?
A fifth.
Oh, yeah.
A fifth?
Yeah.
Nothing?
Yeah,
zero.
Yeah,
pick
exactly.
him up on waivers?
The value was, yeah, at a real low compared to where it is now, and that's why he's a dynasty riser, Addy. So, hopefully y'all have enjoyed this breakdown of Dynasty League maneuvering in general, and also some players who have been risers and fallers. Sig, I always like to just tee you up as we exit out here. The fantasy playoffs are coming up. We've got two more weeks of the regular season for most leagues. If you could give one piece of advice to folks out there playing IDP fantasy football as we enter this home stretch, what would you say?
Just to echo what we've been saying, embrace the chaos. Embrace the instability, embrace the senselessness. Just don't ask questions. Things are going to happen that don't make sense. But if you are willing to accept those things instead of being skeptical, you're going to benefit from that. Your opponent might, like we talked about, complacency, all those different things. This is when championships are won and lost, and it doesn't always make sense why. It's just more of being open and learning to what the game is telling us instead of arguing with it.
Yeah, embrace the chaos. Very well said, my friend. Appreciate you, as always, coming on, chopping it up with us, talking IDP, talking life, talking philosophy. That's what we love, Addy. He's all those things rolled into one. He is going to roll into his take kitchen now and continue cranking out these spicy takes for the rest of the season. But thank you all for listening. Be sure to give Sig a follow over on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. We are at the IDP Show. You can find Sig's work over at footballguys.com. We are at the IDPShow.com, and you can hear more of Sig's takes in the Audibles feed, and we are at the IDP Show. So make sure you're subscribed to both pods, and we've got some more stuff cooking, some more stuff coming down the pipe. But as you embrace the chaos the rest of this season, we are going to help you navigate it. So for Adam and Bobby and Sigmund Bloom, I am Josh Raymer. We will see you all next time.
When I go home, everything's at risk. Welcome to something new. It's the IDP Blitz.